Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al,
Zane,
and Brian.
This is 49ers Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast, presented by Odyssey. I'm Al Sacco, along with Brian Radick and Zane Nockney. And our guest today, which you know from the morning roast on 95.7 The Game, he is Joe Shasky. Joe, thanks for being here, man.
What's up, fellas? I'm excited. It feels like 49er land is a cesspool of hate on every single acquisition, non-acquisition. It's just a quarterback. I'm fatigued by quarterbacks.
And glad to hear you say that, because guess where we're going to start? Because where else could you? It's the 49ers, Joe. So it's not an offseason unless there's QB drama and questions and everything else. But I want to ask you before we get into it. I know we're waiting on Purdy's timetable with the surgery. Yeah. I'm just curious what you thought of Brock and Trey throughout the season, and where do you think it's going with those two?
I mean, we're going back to the beginning. Like last year, I went to camp. This is 2 years ago, 2021. Trey Lance's rookie year. He outplayed Jimmy in the majority of the practices I went to. Jimmy's a terrible practice player. Like Jeff Garcia was a terrible practice player. Some guys just don't look good in shorts surrounded by behemoths because you can't tell. Well, they're all this scrambling and all this extra stuff. Cause if you're at practice, they're allowed to tap the quarterback and you don't know, hey, is that going to be a sack? Are you able to evade that? You know, it's so difficult. Same thing with running backs. Very difficult to assess. I thought as a thrower from the pocket, Trey outperformed Jimmy in training camp last year at times. There were a couple practices, you know, Trey didn't look great. I would have handed the keys to Trey day one last year. That's me. That's what I would have done. I walked away feeling confident in who he was as a person with his makeup. And there was going to be some growing pains. They went in another direction. I totally understand it. And they probably had the locker room feel to it. There's a lot that goes into it. It's not one thing. You could say the finger injury. I think it's much more loaded than that. And then going into this year, I thought Trey looked great at practice. Him and Brandon Ayuk were on another level. I've been going to camp since I was a kid. Watch Rockland. I go up to driving up to Rockland in 100 degree heat. It's very difficult to see two guys have synergy. And you could see it early on. Trey and Ayuk, there was something there. Kittle was in and out of practice. Trent Williams was in and out of practice. I thought Trey looked good, given that no one was open, given that they had no run game. You know, like that's what I was seeing. And so, you know, there were days he struggled, no doubt about it, where the defense had the upper hand. Brock, I didn't see anything from Brock. Everybody had their hand on the notes and they were writing notes, and no one was paying attention to Brock doing the drills. 4 or 5 reps for Trey, 4 or 5 reps for Sudfeld, 1 or 2 for Brock Purdy. I was like, oh, nice little story. He's tiny, can't throw when he rolls out to the left and has to spin his hips like a shortstop would up the middle where you got to flip him and throw. I mean, he just couldn't make that throw. Trey was just hitting that outside pass. A lot of checkdowns from him. You could throw to the deep ball or the short guy. So it's like, oh, you're accurate on the short one. Well, can you rip one over the top? I thought Trey was looking good. And then you watch the game and you're like, why are you using him like this? Mm-hmm. If this is how you wanted to run the offense, why didn't you take Justin Fields in? Like, it just, there was a disconnect. And I never thought the guy was Lamar Jackson. I never thought he was a runner. I just didn't understand it. He didn't look great, you know, in the first week. It was a monsoon. I'm willing to give the guy a ton of leeway. I thought he looked really good in the second half against the Texans last year when they had to win. And then Brock came out of nowhere after the Jimmy injury. He looked phenomenal. But I do think as the year went on, there was some limitations. It felt like throwing outside the numbers, them stacking the box, them forcing them to beat them over the top. There were little things that you could start to see defenses picking up. But I thought Brock was way better than I ever thought. I thought season was a wrap.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm running on here.
No, it's all good. But so heading into next year, what is your thought process? Right now, it looks like, I mean, the odds of Purdy being ready for week one are probably pretty slim. So are you comfortable with Trey? Do you feel good with Trey? Do you think they should look kind of insulate themselves? Where are you on that?
I asked Matt Barrows today on the show. I'm like, who is the person champion Trey Lance indoors, inside the facility? Who's the guy? And he was like, and he didn't want to stick a name on him. Like, damn, that's alarming to me. Like, that's alarming to me. That's really alarming to me. And what pisses me off more than anything is that, you know, obviously he has to earn everything he gets. That's the way I believe. I don't understand if they were going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo all along and everyone knew there was no logical trade partner at the money that Jimmy was making. Why didn't they let him compete? Because clearly the players felt that Trey hadn't earned it because you kept Jimmy around. And there was this weird animosity. And so there's a player dynamic to this that has kind of driven me nuts from the get-go. And regarding to Kyle Shanahan and the roster politics and like Tevin Coleman suiting up in the NFC Championship game. Why? Who is beating their door down for a couple of special team snaps from Tevin Coleman? What are we doing? You know, like, but he does this. He's got his favorites. And I think Trey's no different. He's not one of his favorites right now. I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing right now. I don't think Brock's going to be ready. I think Brock's going to miss a lot of time. And if you like Brock, which I really like Brock, I want to see a lot more. What is the rush? He's 23. If he ruins his arm and he can never come back, they will regret that forever. They rush back Alex Smith. Never was the same mentally and physically in a Niner uniform. Couldn't literally throw the ball for multiple seasons. So I don't understand what this big rush is. If he's going to get this surgery, just take your time. Start him on the PUP list, even if it's this six-month window. I don't understand what the problem is. And then, Kyle, you're getting paid $15 million a year. Scheme it up with Trey Lance and try to win 4 out of 6 or 4 out of 7 or whatever it is. Like, why is the sky falling? Let's go get Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan sucks. You guys really want to see Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan is finished. He burnt toast. Like, I'm over that. So, I don't know. The quarterback thing, I'm just fatigued. Philip Rivers picks the phone up and is like, I want to come play for you. You are done, Philip. Like, I'm done with you. Like, I don't know. I'm just, as you could tell, it makes me angry.
You know, one of the things.
Sorry, Brian. I just one more thing, real quick. I think the rush, Joe, is that they know the window is getting like this with this core. We've been talking about it. So, do they have a couple years left? Yes, but I think they got to get it done with Kittle, with Williams, with Armstead. These guys only probably have a couple years left, and I think they feel that pressure. Sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, one of the questions that I asked, I had Jason Aponte on. Owl's down swampland and Zane wasn't available. So I had Aponte on, and I know you guys have had him on the morning roast. And one of the questions that I asked him, or one of the things that I posited, was perhaps this Brock Purdy injury in reality is a blessing in disguise, in so much as it may keep Kyle Shanahan from sabotaging himself. Yeah. In that Brock Purdy is Jimmy Garoppolo with a little bit more athleticism, right? That is what Brock Purdy is. He's Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's a lot more athletic. I think he's a better decision maker. I think there's a lot Brock brings to the table that Jimmy doesn't have. And people,
but physically speaking,
are afraid to say that out loud.
Yeah, but physically speaking.
Oh, yeah, they're small.
Nothing like what you could have in Trey Lance. And it genuinely felt like Kyle Shanahan got his ass kicked by Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl and then got his ass kicked by Josh Allen on national TV in 2020. And he went, I need a guy like that. I want a guy like that. And it felt like that was why they went into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, and then Deshaun did what Deshaun did, and they said, fine, then we're going to go up and we're going to get one of the guys in the draft. And then it seems like it eventually went between Jones, Fields, Lance. Jones was Jimmy Garoppolo, just younger and maybe a little bit better arm. But outside of that, probably relatively the same quarterback. And then it was Fields and Lance. And ultimately, they chose Lance. I don't know that we'll ever get an explanation for why, but the minute that they chose Lance, they had conflicting timelines. They had a timeline of, we need to develop this really raw quarterback who has a ton of tools, but just needs time. And we have a Super Bowl window with an aging roster that we need to take advantage of. And like you said, Joe, Kyle Shanahan is getting paid more than almost every other coach in the NFL. He should be able to win with this roster, even with Trey Lance at quarterback. So maybe if Brock is not ready, or maybe if this surgery, they go in and they go, oh, you know what? It's worse than we thought. This is the hybrid, right? Which is going to keep him out longer, or God forbid, look, we need to do a reconstruction. Then he's out for the year. Well, then you have a full year to finally figure out what you have in Trey Lance. And so my question is, do you think that they would be willing to do that? Or if this surgery happens on Friday and it goes, hey, had to do a full reconstruction, months. He's out the year. Are they going? Are they going the veteran route? And then now the new wrinkle, who's the new veteran quarterback that's on the market? 26-year-old former MVP, Lamar Jackson. What would Lamar Jackson look like in San Francisco?
If he's having problems with Trey Lance's accuracy, I don't understand how, like, the one thing, like, Lamar, Trey Lance, this is where I get frustrated with Kyle. I don't even think he knows what he wants. If you listen to him, he just starts rattling things off. It's like you got a friend. We've all got this friend. I want an Instagram model girlfriend who can also cook and clean, who's also homely, who doesn't go out to the clubs, but also puts a bunch of thirst traps on IG. Like, dog, those things are all conflicting with each other. You have to win from the pocket. Can we all agree? Like, yes, you got to win from the pocket. Can you be mobile behind the line of scrimmage? Absolutely. Right. And that's, I saw him at camp multiple times. I'm like, Trey Lance reminds me more of John Elway, Big Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, those are high praise, but I'm saying, like, these are guys that I wouldn't say running quarterbacks. Even though John Elway could run, Big Ben could run early in his career. I know the old man was different. Big, strapping, power arms that are going to deliver the ball down the field. Get the guys some possession receivers with some catch radius. Everyone's 6'1", and they can't get off the line of scrimmage, right? Let's, like, so there's all these conflicting things. And, like, I've always thought, Kyle doesn't even know what he wants. I like Kirk Cousins. No. I like Jimmy G. No. I like Nick Mullins. I like this. Like, if you asked him, he'll just start rattling off every skill. Dog, no one has all those skills. Like, Patrick Mahomes, for all the things, he's reckless at times. He's reckless, but Andy's found a way to rein it in and make the best of him. I want to see Kyle figure it out, and whatever someone does well, keep running those plays. What? Like, I don't get it. It's very frustrating. And, like, so the quarterback thing. Okay, window now. Gotta win now. Like, I hear this with the Warriors. I hear this with a lot. Guys, what business in America is not trying to develop young talent at the bottom of their business to infiltrate into the top management portions of their company? Whether it's the Yankees with Alfonso Soriano, you guys, you're wearing a Yankee hat right now, back in the 00s, whether it's the 49ers back in the day trying to develop a young Roger Craig on an already Super Bowl winning team, whether it's a young Jerry Rice entering that team, Hufanga this year. Why do we do this with other positions? We just played Hufanga, okay? You let him grow in the position, showed a lot of unbelievable traits, and also had some backbreaking plays at time, but you allowed him to develop. Why do we treat the quarterback position like it's going to destroy them? They won a playoff game in Green Bay without an offensive touchdown. Like, no team is better suited to go through the struggles of a young quarterback than the 49ers. So I push back on this whole, like, we're going to win now. Like, I believe in Kyle. I feel like they'll reload the roster. Yes, guys are getting up there in age. That's the NFL. It could fall off a cliff at any moment. But if your argument is win now, then you should have got Brady 2 years ago when I was screaming to the high heavens. But you know why he didn't? Because Kyle's too stubborn, and who knows what the hell he's looking for in quarterback. Guys, I'll ask you, you've watched this. What's the number one attribute he's looking for from a quarterback?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Someone that knows exactly what he wants them to do.
Yeah, he's a guy that listens to Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
A robot. So he wants a robot.
Yeah.
So
hit the 100%. A button. Throw here. Yep.
That's what he wants. Okay. So he wants a robot. Guess what? Those guys don't exist. The game's played by humans. You know what I mean? Like at some level, all the elite players, Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, pick whoever you want. Guys, can they make the play from structure? Absolutely. When it breaks down, they've got that second level of creativity and they can make things happen downfield. You've got to let players play. And so like my biggest problem with the guy is that I think he's too controlling. He's great. He's freaking awesome. Belichick can't draft wide receivers. Kyle doesn't know what he's looking for in quarterbacks. That's just where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
You know what's a good example? Sorry, Zane. I just got one more quick thing to say. I know I'm talking over you guys. You look at the 2021 offseason, right, when they end up getting Trey, because you mentioned he doesn't know what he wants. They wanted Stafford. They wanted Watson. Exactly. Watson gets in legal trouble. Oh, well, let's just trade all our picks and move up now. That's a great point. All he knew that offseason that he didn't want Jimmy Garoppolo. He knew nothing else. Sorry, Zane. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that, like, everybody talks about, like, oh, they want a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Josh. You had a chance to get the real Patrick Mahomes in 2017. You had a chance to get him, and you passed on him. That's the most frustrating thing is that every single time, and I mean, I know you like Butcher Boy, right? So I'll call you Butch, right? Because like we know, you know. So backstory for those of you that may not know. So Butch has been like he's been a legend on the Bay Area airwaves for a long time, like calling in to Damon Bruce's show for many years. So fan legend turned radio host is this is actually one of the coolest stories that I've heard of.
Thank you, Zane.
And I think that for those of you that don't know, you should definitely look into it. And you know, it's awesome to have you on our show again, man. But really, like we look at the opportunities that they've had to add Hall of Fame level talent at the quarterback position. And we've talked about this on the show ad nauseum, right? They passed on Mahomes, passed on Brady, passed on Aaron Rodgers back in the day, right? Passed on Aaron Rodgers back in the day, passed on Brady again. Passed on a chance to get, well, I mean, Deshaun Watson was legal troubles, right? But at every step of the way, when they've had a chance to add a difference maker at quarterback, they have tried and failed, or they just haven't tried at all. And this is the difference between them being on the cusp and them hoisting another couple of Lombardis, right? I kind of dovetails into one of the questions I wanted to ask you, like, at what point are they going to figure it out? Like they've in the last decade, they've been close 6 times, right? And they haven't been able to get over the hump. What do they need to be able to get over that hump? Or is it just a situation where you have what you need, but you just have to put it together? Like there's nothing else you need at this point. You have a great roster. You have great coaching, great talent. You just need to get your shit together and put it together and get over the hump. Is it that situation? Or do they actually need more ammo here?
I mean, the margins are so thin in the playoffs. Like it's just so razor thin. The fact that they've won this many playoff games and you can make an argument. They've had the worst quarterback in every game they've played. You can in the playoffs of the Shanahan era, you can make that argument. Kirk Cousins has had a better career than Jimmy Garoppolo. I know people don't want to hear it. Look at the data. Like it's in your face. All right. He's 3-4 times passing yards, touchdowns, everything. I mean, he's been phenomenal. Winning percentage, Jimmy kicks his butt, but come on. All right. Dak Prescott, even this last year, like Dak's been the better quarterback than Brock Purdy. Now, maybe 10 years from now, we look at it differently. Like go all the way down the list. And they've won how many? 6 playoff games under Kyle. He's tremendous. Their biggest issue, and this is one of my biggest problems with them, they don't understand value on certain things. For example, you guys referenced the missing on the pick with the quarterback. You took the worst player of the top 10 guys. Hands down, Solomon Thomas, the worst player. You could have fallen face first into Christian McCaffrey, and you would have been better than this. You could have fallen face first into so many different players, and you had an opportunity to trade away DeForest Buckner. You don't keep him. You don't value his leadership. You value Jimmy Ward and you value Eric Armstead. And Eric Armstead was a one-year wonder. And then you take that draft pick and you take a 2-down lineman, defensive lineman, who can't rush the passer and has a chronic broken knee at 13 when no one was going to take him. So there's this consistent pattern of not understanding value that really comes back to bite them. They're still paying D Ford. And it was a good trade in theory. Second rounder, it was basically a first round pick, and you had to pay that guy. Okay. You got to understand value. And that's my biggest problem with them right now. So the same thing can be said. The number 3 overall pick, guys, right? They have this golden opportunity to jump up. They didn't jump up for a player, they jump up to the slot. And then we're like, we'll figure it out because we're so good. We'll find the player. That's not how businesses work. You, if you're going to make a move that bold, you better have conviction before you make the move. And so, like, to me, we can go right through the draft, and they found fifth-round talents, second-round talents. They found unbelievable talent. Think of how many misses they've had. Massive misses. I mean, Fred Warner is outstanding. They thought Reuben Foster was going to be the dude. Then he whiffed. They paid Malcolm Smith and Quan Alexander back-to-back years. Like, they sunk so much money into that spot, and they got lucky. We don't even think about it because Fred Warner's ridiculous. So maybe that happens here with Brock, and this just changes the equation, and they can win playoff games, and they found someone, luckily, in Brock Purdy who can be that guy. I don't know, man. I think long-term, I don't know what Kyle wants in a quarterback. Like, I really don't. For years, he told me running backs don't matter. And I was screaming like, no, they do matter. They do matter. Then he gets Christian McCaffrey. And we all said, holy crap. Wow. Look at what a world-class running back does for everyone on the offense. And now it's like, yeah. It used to be, remember, Shanahan could turn out 1,000-yard running backs. Bro, they haven't had a 1,000-yard running back since Carlos Hyde. One single season until this year with Christian McCaffrey. And it was because of the combined yards and whatnot. But like, so he needs to adjust his principles and his philosophies to get over the hump, in my opinion. Like, that's what I think he needs to do. Mike McGlinchey is another example. He's a run-blocking right tackle. Guys, it's 2023. Run-blocking right tackles are like power forwards who I throw the ball to in the block. Like, they don't exist anymore. They just don't. You have to be a pass-blocking right tackle. Like, I'm sorry, Kyle. Let McGlinchey go. I know you love him. He stinks. Let him go. I'm not paying him $15 million. If they pay him $15 million, it's another example per year. They don't understand value. And that's my biggest problem with them right now, because every little hole always comes back to bite them. Center position, they didn't value it. What happened with Chris Jones in the Super Bowl? He dominated them. Sorry, it drives me nuts, because there's certain things you see from a mile away that they don't identify, and it comes back to bite them.
So looking now, we're heading to the offseason, we're heading into free agency, and the Niners have some holes. I think they have more holes and openings right now than people are really talking about. And I think Agreed. The O-line and the D-line are two spots for me personally. Where do you think the focus should be heading in free agency?
I'm not drafting any D-tackles until day three. Like Ridgeway and McGill and all these randoms, like those guys can come in and fill a spot as a two-down lineman. D-end, different story. If there's a guy out there, I thought Drake Jackson was going to be that guy. Like, he was flashing. I was seeing, you know, progress. When I saw him at camp, I said, that guy clearly needs a nutrition program. His body, he's out of shape. Like, and for a 21-year-old, like, he needs to get in the weight room. But I saw flashes, the bend, the athleticism. They need to have a bookend on the other side of Bosa. That's when they've been their most lethal. They need that guy badly. Right tackle and center. Like, to me, those are the two. Number one, center, right tackle. And then I'm going to go D-tackle, D-line, depth, and maybe safety. You know, this guy Bates is out there from Cincinnati. He's a ball hawker. Maybe that works well with Talanoa Hufanga. But, guys, like, they have to keep – your quarterback cannot get peppered every year. Like, that's where we're at. They just keep getting peppered, and they're never standing upright. So, I don't know. That's what I think the needs are. And kicker, who cares about kicker? Like, figure it out. Stop kicking field goals and get touchdowns.
You know, I think the DN question is interesting, right? With with Drake Jackson, you know, he's kind of that bigger body DN in the vein of kind of like an Eric Armstead. You know, he's 6'5", and then I think they had him playing around 270. I think what they need and what they haven't had and thought they might get with Ebukam is that speed rusher opposite Bosa, right? Which is what D Ford was supposed to be. D Ford ran a 4.5 40. At the combine coming out of Auburn, right? Mm-hmm. And so they haven't really had a guy like that outside of like an Ebukam, but Ebukam was they bet on him, you know, being a hand in the dirt guy, because he was a stand-up guy in LA. And not that he was bad, but he isn't the same level as like a D Ford. So I agree with you, Joe. I think D end opposite Bosa, that speed element, I think, is what's missing. And if you can get that, then you're looking at 2019 level D-line rather than 20, 21, and 22, where it's been good and it's been deep, but it hasn't been overly impressive. It hasn't been impressive like the Eagles D-line this year, right? Where they boasted, what, four dudes with double-digit sacks? Dude. So I think that is the key. And then the offensive line, right? It's the trenches. That's what we know. The trenches are where they win. And if they're going to try and go into 2023 with Colton McKivitz at right tackle and Nick Zakel at center because they trust in their player development, that scares the shit out of me, because you just went through a season where you used four quarterbacks.
I know.
Because they got injured.
Were you guys, did you guys think that Banks would be a player? Did you guys heading into this year think Banks? Because I did not.
I didn't have an opinion either way. I didn't think that him not playing was any, an indictment on him. I knew that he played left guard at Notre Dame. I knew Laken Tomlinson was going to be a free agent. Like, I saw it. I saw what they were doing, and that was fine with me. Did I think he was going to be good? I mean, I didn't know, but I didn't think that, you know, he was a bust because he didn't play year one.
He looked so bad at practice the first year. Like, he couldn't guard the sled. Like, he was so bad. It was a monster season this year. And Burford too, they found out of nowhere. So, like, clearly whatever they're doing in the late rounds is working. But the it's the top stuff. Like, again, I go back to value because I look at it. It's like the stock market. You know, like, it's when you acquire something. When you get rid of something, the timing really does matter on these things. You referenced Eric Armstead. They paid him to play D end. They overpaid and made him a top 10 D end. When if you slid him inside and you paid him as a D tackle, again, understanding value, that number would be a lot lower. You know, they wouldn't have had to have restructured it off the bat. I think Drake Jackson's more athletic than you're giving him credit for. He's just out of shape. The kid is so young.
Super athletic. USC
was in shambles. I'm really high on him. I think but I hear you on, they do need a smaller speedster. I agree with that aspect. Speed kills. That's why I love Dre Greenlaw. I know he's reckless. I know he does dumb stuff and he's different. He's a linebacker, but the dude flies. Like, when you watch him, he's banging his helmet. He's doing all that. He flies. The Eagle D line that you referenced, bro, I was in the third row for the NFC Championship game. It's the largest group of men I've ever seen in my life. They've got eight dudes that are gigantic, like gigantic. And Jake Brendel is supposed to stay in front of those guys. Like, I just didn't see it. I thought that game was going to go sideways no matter who was at quarterback. I'm being dead real with you.
Did you give it to Fortinball after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl? Did you want to give it to him after that?
Dude, don't even start me. He actually ran into Bonte at the airport. They both were going down to Mexico. And so he tried to give us a peace pipe. It's he who shall not be named. He's not even from Philly.
Right? How does that happen?
Eagle fans are the worst.
All right, Joe, we appreciate the time, buddy. You were the absolute best. Thank you so much
for being here. Sorry if I overtalked and cut everybody back.
No, you're good, man.
You're all good, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.